Inside Red Bull, Bora Hansgrohe, the podcast from OVB Online on the Tour de France. For 3 weeks, we accompany team manager Ralf Denk and the biggest and most successful German cycling team through the Tour de France. Do you have questions for Ralf Denk? Send them to tobias.rufe@ovbmedia.de. And now, enjoy the new episode.
Tim Melier wins the seventh stage of the Tour de France. Tadej Pogacar remains in yellow and Red Bull Bora Hansgrohe experiences a seemingly quiet day. Whether that was actually the case, I will discuss as every day with the team manager. So, warm greetings to France, to Ralf Denk.
Hello and greetings to Rosenheim.
Yes, Ralf, before we look at today, one last look back at yesterday. You had already told us in the podcast that the emotions had calmed down. Were yesterday's events still a topic for you today? I mean, in the media, I can answer that with a very clear yes. It was on everyone's lips and our podcast was quoted everywhere, nationally and internationally. How does it look inside the heart of Red Bull Bora Hansgrohe?
Can we just put the matter to rest and say, new day, let's move on, everything is settled?
Yes, first of all, I was pleased that our statement from last night, or my statement in our podcast, spread so much.
We were happy too.
And yes, on the other hand, the topic was already settled last night internally, and everything is fine. I believe they spoke to the media again today as well. Rolf Aldag also spoke again, our head of sports. But no, it has become much, much bigger. And you can also see here what power the media has at such a big sports event, and how, you know, from a small misunderstanding, such a big deal is made. But everyone loves each other, and we are focusing on racing.
That is how we will do it. So let us look at the racing. Let us briefly look back at today. Two breakaway riders out in front, but without any real prospect of success. A royal sprint in Bordeaux. Tim Melier is clearly the fastest man. Did you expect the race to unfold like that too, or?
Yes and no. I would have thought that at the last sprint at the Cup, that was 2 days ago in Pau, there was only one single breakaway rider, who, by the way, was also represented again today in the two-man breakaway group. I thought that the wildcard teams would use the chance to present their jerseys and the logos of their partners once more. The Tour de France has live coverage in 190 countries from start to finish. That is, of course, a huge amount of awareness that you can achieve there for the team's partners. And it surprised me that only two teams again had the courage to set off to attack, but two against a large field where the sprinter teams in the back were controlling the race was actually a hopeless fight. And in the end, it just came down to a sprint royal in Bordeaux. Bordeaux is often where the Tour de France ends, and often in a bunch sprint. There are some truly great winners in Bordeaux, and that is why today's sprint was prestigious. And I watched it on television, of course, and Tim Melier was the best sprinter again today. He won deservedly.
Absolutely. I mentioned it in my introduction. Now, I do not know for sure. Was it the quiet day that it appeared to be at first glance for you?
Yes, it was relatively relaxed. We always had a bit of butterflies in our stomachs. Hopefully nothing happens, especially in the finale when the race gets more hectic, that no one crashes. Everyone is super exhausted from yesterday, from the hard Pyrenees stage, not just physically, but also a bit mentally. We have been racing for almost a week now, and you often make careless mistakes, crash, but everything went well, everything is safe. And from that perspective, it works for us, and it was a relatively relaxed day.
Do you know what was up with the radio today? The on-screen graphics on TV, I couldn't read them at all, or only with great difficulty. The colleagues at Eurosport also said there seemed to be problems. Did you hear anything about that?
I also noticed that on the screen there were often outages, but I have no background information as to why.
Okay, good.
So now, fittingly, Bordeaux is also called the city of sprinters. Let's take this opportunity and talk about exactly that topic, sprinting at the Tour de France today. Let's start, Ralf, with a listener question from Achim Johansen. That ties in with what you were saying earlier, that you have to stay alert, avoid crashes and careless mistakes. That can happen very, very quickly at these speeds. And our listener wants to know, there is this so-called crash rule. 3 or 5 kilometers, like today, before the finish, it is activated and protects the riders from losing time due to crashes or mechanicals. Now Achim wants to know, is there a team tactic to potentially open a gap to the other general classification riders and gain a few seconds? And on the other hand, is there the opposite, the tactic of making sure the others don't do it?
Yes, the 5 kilometer mark, you have to know the virtual finish line is not here. Only if something happens to you in the last 5 kilometers, meaning if you have a flat tire or if you crash or if several people crash, then you get the same time. But you still must not let any gaps open up to the winner in the last 5 kilometers, because then you get a different time. And that is, of course, the goal of the teams that are fighting for the general classification here, not to let any gaps open up. But the last 5 kilometers or the last 10 kilometers are so stressful that the teams that are still playing a role in the general classification do not hurt each other and perhaps gain another 3 seconds somewhere. That is absolutely not worth the risk. On the contrary, all, let's say, teams that don't have sprinters, that only have general classification riders, and that definitely includes Team UAE Emirates, that includes Visma Lisa Bike, that includes, could also be us as well. So rather, and I heard this from the riders on the first sprint stage, that Tadej Pogacar said, hey, the teams fighting for the general classification, let's just stay together, then we'll all be fine. So more in that direction. To get home safely rather than going the other way and trying to gain 3 seconds with an enormous amount of risk.
So it is a kind of gentleman's agreement, could you call it that?
Yes, yes. And it is nice that such gentlemen's agreements still exist, and that of course also distinguishes the current great cycling star Tadej Pogacar when he initiates something like that.
Okay, good. Topic: sprinting at the Tour de France. A few days ago we talked about the route and we both agreed those days when a Tour de France just rolls along are over. And you already hinted that the organizers would actually prefer to only see stages that go into the mountains that are hilly, where there is constantly something going on, something happening,
as opposed to a stage like today. We are in Bordeaux, the city of sprinters. I mentioned it, talked about it. In the past, the topic of sprinting was, at least in my perception, an absolute centerpiece of the Tour de France. Today, I would no longer claim that. How do you see it?
Yes, it is still about stage wins, which bring a lot of prestige for the team. And today's success for Soudal Quick-Step is a great achievement for the Belgian team. And I am happy for them. On the other hand, sprint stages are a bit boring for the viewers because it takes 200 kilometers until the final kilometer arrives and the action starts. I understand that the organizers want to avoid that now. What I do miss a little is the aggressiveness of the teams that can neither win in a sprint because they do not have a top sprinter nor perhaps finish in the top 5 or top 10 of the Tour de France. And there are several teams that don't say, let's join forces, let's each send 2 riders into the attack. and try something, because that would obviously make the whole race much more entertaining. That surprises me a bit, and I am also surprised, and I can still remember this myself. I came to the Tour de France with my teams, NetApp Endura and Bora Argon 18, in the years 2014, 2015, and 2016 via a wildcard. Back then, we didn't have a World Tour license. No automatic right to start in the Tour de France. We only had that from 2017. And I can still remember that the tour director, Christian Prudhomme, usually told me over the phone, "Hey Ralph, your team is getting a wild card. I was really happy, but you have to promise me one thing." I expect a wildcard team to liven up the race, for you to ride offensively, and for you to attack. I don't expect from you, you have a small budget, a stage win, or a guy or one in the top five. But with a small budget, you should do your best to shape or help shape the race and make it more attractive for the viewers. And it surprises me a bit that the teams currently struggling to secure a stage win in a sprint or a top five in the general classification don't go on the offensive more on stages like today.
Mm-hmm. How could we make stages like today more attractive? Let us let our thoughts run wild. Make them shorter, or maybe add extra benefits like bonus seconds, premiums, I don't know. Have you thought about how, in the end, because we all agree that a sprint is part of a cycling tour, right? But how could we make the whole thing more attractive?
It is funny because 2 days ago we were following, the extended management of our team usually sit in our team bus during the stages, and we were watching the race. We had the exact same discussion. What can we do to create drama and excitement today, 2 days ago, when the stage ended in Pau? We haven't come up with a solution. I can't tell you.
Okay, fine. It happens quite often in our podcast that there is no concrete answer from Ralph Denk, but yes, I think it is a difficult topic. You have to put your heads together. How do you feel about the trend that the sprint feels like it is becoming less significant? Would you say it's a bit of a shame, or is it just the way things go as a sport naturally evolves over many years? Is it just a natural process of development? Do you see it quite objectively or a bit melancholically?
No, I think it's a pity, because it has,
back then when I was a racer myself, it was impressive. The legendary Seiko Cannondale train of Mario Cipollini, for example, or Cavendish was a great sprint protagonist at the Tour de France, but Eric Sabel also won many, many stages. That was really inspiring for me, and a sprint is still inspiring to me today, but it's more about making the time from the start to the last 10 kilometers before the finish a bit more exciting. But as I said, we've already discussed it a lot internally. We haven't found a perfect solution yet, but perhaps it's part of the Tour de France that there are quieter days too. Okay, you have to accept that TV ratings on flat stages might not be quite as high as on mountain stages. If you compare it to rally racing, there are special stages and so-called liaison stages. Maybe it's just part of it, and you have to accept it. Because one thing makes the Tour de France very, very, very special. It is a 3-week sporting event with only 2 rest days. That doesn't exist anywhere else in the sports world, where in 23 days, 21 competitions take place. And maybe a kind of transition stage is just part of it too.
Yes, well, the sprint was, of course, also a significant part of your team's history. Peter Sagan is obviously the key name there. You yourselves have changed your focus and said we are now a team that wants to target the general classification. When that switch happened, did you already anticipate this development, or was it a fundamental decision that had nothing to do with the current evolution of the sprint.
No, it was our decision and actually has nothing to do with the current trend, pro or contra sprint. You have to know the yellow jersey is, or the general classification, that is the supreme discipline, yes. So that is the most valuable jersey. The green jersey for the best sprinter, you get to go to the podium in Paris. You get to call yourself the best sprinter at the Tour de France, but it does not have nearly the value of the yellow jersey. We won the green jersey twice with Peter Sagan. He was crowned the best sprinter at the Tour de France, and we won many stages with Peter Sagan, and that is naturally part of our history, but we won, and that was my goal, to continue developing the team. And it is clearly part of that to try and attack the yellow jersey. We have managed to reach third place so far in Paris. We were already on the podium last year with Florian Lipowitz. I want to move further up in the medium term, in the long term, and that is why we will also invest in that area. I must also add that this is the most budget-intensive part, because a top rider who can finish the Tour de France and the top five costs significantly more money than a rider who perhaps produces two or three stage wins at the Tour de France.
Maybe if we come back to the topic of sprinting, that one big name is missing, that absolute superstar. You spoke about Mario Cipollini, Eric Zabel, Mark Cavendish. My Marcel Kittel is the German record winner at the Tour de France with 14 stages. Zabel won 12, André Greipel won 11. Maybe the international perspective is missing. I don't want to offend the fast guys, but that glamour factor a la Cipollini, I'm missing that a bit. Is that one big figure perhaps missing there, both internationally and nationally?
Yes, naturally more of a sprinter. Yes, always characters who are a bit polarizing, like Mario Cipollini, for example. I just think of his special outfits that he always wore, the fines he got for them and was happy to pay, or his team paid. Sure, such characters are missing in the sprint field. Nothing against Tim Mellier or nothing against Jasper Philipsen, but they are not as polarizing as, say, a Mario Cipollini perhaps was. Maybe that is also the reason. That is a good assessment from you.
Okay, good. Let's keep that in mind. Sprint, the big topic of the day, because our preview for tomorrow also smells like a mass sprint again, or maybe not. Let's hear about that in a moment. So, it goes from Périgueux to Bergerac. 180 kilometers will be ridden. We have a bit more in the profile than was the case today. So we have two fourth category climbs. Yes, well, I have the feeling that due to the passivity you mentioned from the other teams, I don't know if that will change much tomorrow. And then we would see another bunch sprint. What is your assessment?
Yes, I think that, if you had asked me yesterday, will there be a bunch sprint, then I would have said 99%. For tomorrow, I would say maybe 60-40, because, it is significantly hillier. There are more climbs. There is also a Category 2 climb. The teams that do not want a sprint, or want a sprint with a very small group, will definitely try to drop the really fast guys like Tim earlier and company. But I also think that since the start or the first part of the stage is already a bit hillier, there will be a bigger fight for the breakaway tomorrow, and that the breakaway group will be significantly larger. And the more people break away, the greater the probability that the group will make it, because it is simply mathematically like that. If 10 people are in front from 10 different teams, then 10 teams automatically aren't working behind. And then the probability that the group makes it is significantly greater.
And so, as I said, I'm committing to 60% bunch sprint, 40% breakaway.
Mm.
Yes, and can you commit to a percentage of how likely it is that we might see a Red Bull Bora Hansgrohe jersey in a potential breakaway? A lot of hypotheticals.
Yes, we have people specifically brought along for that. I'm thinking of Jan Tratnik, perhaps, or maybe even a Maxim Van Gils tomorrow. Or yes, we will certainly give our guys the freedom to try something tomorrow.
Okay, so the start is at 1:15. Expected arrival is 5:20. And what is certain is that after the stage, a new episode of Inside Red Bull, Bora Hansgrohe, will land in your podcatcher. And the man responsible for that is the one I thank for today and will speak to again tomorrow.
Best regards and thank you to Ralf Dekker.
Good evening and best regards back to you.
That was the latest edition of Inside Red Bull Bora Hansgrohe, the podcast from OVB Online on the Tour de France. You can find the podcast on all common podcatchers and on the websites of OVB Media and Ipen Media. Thanks for listening and see you in the next episode.